President Biden received his COVID booster shot on camera in front of reporters. When they offered Biden the booster, according to Jimmy Fallon, Biden said, "I'll take one in my arm and another for my approval rating." James Corden said it came just a few days after both the FDA and CDC approved it. How did Biden get to the front of that line? He probably knows somebody. Corden, the actual shot only took a second, and then Joe Biden spent 10 minutes haggling over which flavor lollipop he could have. The folks at STL Today are very excited. Mark Maron, who has a large podcast following, says the article, said nice things about St. Louis. He wrote on his blog that he enjoyed a number of St. Louis attractions when he was in town last month. Mark Maron said the lady who owns Clementine's Ice Cream, she showed me around the city and let me have some ice cream, and I was ready to move there. The museums and the zoo are free, free outdoor concerts, beautiful parks, great coffee and food. I did go to one of the most amazing record stores I've ever been in. Euclid Records is a marvel. The other store I went to was Vintage Vinyl, another place with a tremendous stock of actual old records. I bought a lot of vinyl. However, not all of his review was positive. Mark Maron said, "The catch is you're in Missouri. That's a big, crazy right-wing Christian catch. But the ice cream is very good." Vulture asked Nick Kroll about zombie Skittles for some reason. According to the packaging on zombie Skittles, most zombie Skittles taste delicious, but some taste like rotten zombie. This got Nick Kroll a little philosophical, and he wondered, if a zombie bites you, you become a zombie. But if you bite a zombie, does a zombie become you? Maybe that's the key to beating zombies, that we bite them. Ricky Gervais was talking about his show Afterlife, which is very good if you haven't seen it, and said, "People say you can't do suicide and cancer. You can. People are proud that they saw something they're scared of. They see a connection. I'm proudest of that. There's this thing about how the truth can be terrible. It's not terrible. The truth can be uplifting. It can be liberating to know the truth." Previously, he's never made more than 2 seasons of any show, but he struggled to walk away from the Afterlife character, so he decided to do a 3rd season. He said, "I built up a world, and it was the biggest I'd ever built up. It was so much effort to get to this point about such a difficult subject. I didn't want to destroy it as quickly. I enjoyed it so much. Being honest, the success was such a surprise and relief, and the fact that I did it about the emotional size of things, I thought, I have to do one more and see how far I can go with it." Despite that, Ricky doesn't see making a 4th season. He said, "I could do a 4th. It would not run out of ideas because there's so much stuff. But I said I won't, so I won't. I think this is the best series. It gets better and better, as it should." From Rolling Stone's interview with Norm Macdonald, they asked him about when he lobbied to get the Late Late Show on CBS that went to James Corden. And was he happy that his show ended up on Netflix? Regarding the Netflix part, yeah, absolutely. "Earlier in my career, I thought I'd want to do a late night show, but now looking back and seeing the guys who do it, it just consumes your life. You wake up every morning like, what's tonight? I wouldn't have actually liked that. I just thought I would like it. So thank God for unanswered prayers, I guess." Rolling Stone, during the same interview, you mentioned getting rid of talk show staples like The Suit and The Desk, but on the Norm Macdonald Has a Show, you still have The Desk. Norm said, "I talked to Letterman, and I asked him, why is there even a desk? It's like a job interview. It's so bizarre. It's an uncomfortable position to be put in. I don't know who started that. Probably some guy in the 50s. But then Letterman told me, if you're going to subvert the show, you have to have all the trappings of the show. You have to be making fun of the show like 10% and 90% doing the actual show." Jim Gaffigan talked about being a fish out of water comedian and said, "All comedians are fish out of water. We're all in the anti-social social club, whatever that means. As society goes on, we're just going to discover that all comedians are on the autism spectrum because we're like this hyper-focused breed. Writers are too. We find and embrace different points of view." On finding inspiration, he said Mark Twain called it the nub, the point or the punchline of the story. And it's something that bumps into you, whether it's embarrassing, shame-ridden, or ridiculous. Sometimes it sits in you and you have to figure out how to say it, but sometimes it comes right out. I have this notepad on my phone, which we all have, where I'll jot things down. Here's a recent one. They should bundle all the streaming services and call it cable TV. Somebody's probably thought of that before. The more unique something is to you, the better. The guys at TMZ stopped David Spade and asked him about cancel culture. Spade said he's concerned how old jokes he's told will be perceived in today's climate. He said, "I worry about my last stand-up set. I try to do stuff that's a little rough around the edges. That's the whole idea, and if someone picks it up, I guess I just cross my fingers and say it's under the guise of comedy. My whole life is, everything I say is basically for a joke." When asked how he stays funny despite the cancel culture climate, Spade said, "I'm not. I'm pulling away from the same 7 jokes we're all allowed to use. I just turned into Marlon Brando. That's what they want. They don't want you to go shake the tree. And I like guys that are still doing it, and some people are just grandfathered in. They get to do it. I'm glad there's still comics doing it. He says comedians who make jokes will never be safe because people are always looking at the past. The hard part is if any good luck happens to anybody, there's a team of people digging through their life to make sure they take them down. That's the hard part. Who's doing that? Who has time? Who cares enough? That's a tough life. You dig under anybody in this world, you'll find something. And from the AV Club, did you know there's a long-lost film of the comic strip The Far Side? You know, Gary Larson's one-panel comic strip that's usually like cows doing something funny? You know The Far Side. The Far Side had two official screen adaptations, both 30-minute animated specials, which are Tales from the Far Side, which aired on CBS in 1994. I think I saw that. And Tales from the Far Side 2, which aired on the BBC 3 years later. Just 2 months after Tales from the Far Side premiered, Gary Larson ended the comic strip, ending a 15-year run. They were working on a script for a movie. In the movie, Professor Henderson, that's the pith-helmeted character, Professor Henderson would have been played by John Larroquette. Henderson is on a journey to an unknown corner of the world to discover the missing link between everything. Being the Far Side, that unknown corner wound up only being a couple blocks from the character's house. Professor Henderson's quest continued from there, accompanied by a kid on a bike. The suits loved the way it looked, but weren't sure of the scenes, none of which were in the script, but were adapted to the raw materials we had for the test showing. In other words, if we had only presented stills, it likely would have been made. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Join the Facebook group. It is a group called DCN Pod. See you here tomorrow.